to come tonight to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. The only problem I'm going to have, I think, will be the time. And I haven't been given too much. Usually takes a wee bit longer, but I'll try and be as quick as I possibly can. I've been thinking about this testimony and seeing what I was going to speak, and I never got a clear word from the Lord. So I'm just going to open my mouth, and I'm praying the Holy Ghost Himself will so come and give a word to you, and a word to myself. Maybe you're in a meeting tonight and you have a problem. Maybe you're saved and you don't know how to get saved. This can be a problem. Or maybe you're a Christian here tonight and you're not going on the way that you want to go because there are stumbling blocks in the way. Maybe this will be a word for you tonight. Amen. And we know that the Lord will really bless indeed. I was born in a place called Bonbridge in the 40s. It's a brief while ago. And I had a Christian upbringing, which is something wonderful, something money couldn't buy, something very precious to have a mother and a father who's praying for you. Even though you're out in the mountains, wild and bare, they are praying for you that the Lord will save you. Something special. And when I look back, that is something I really thank the Lord for. But first of all, I'd like to bring just one verse of Scripture to you. And it's very special. And it says simply in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. This is what it means to be a Christian. People have problems trying to identify a child of God, a Christian. But this verse completely says that he is a follower of Christ. That he must follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. Why? Calvin had it right, as in his very first point, and that is totally depravity. Because we're all born in sin and shaven in iniquity. From the sole of our foot to the top of our head, we're so full of wounds and putrefying sores. So much sin in our lives. But we thank God that He loved the world so much, that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went all the way to the Calvary. He shed His precious blood for you and me. And how that cry went up, it is finished. No more sacrifice for sin. And how God the Father raised His only Son from the grave. And where He is now, He's on the Father's right hand, a great exalted high priest. And He's making intercession for each and every one of His people. And willing and able to save precious souls. But let me tell you, ye must be born again. You know, any time if you ever watch the news on a Monday night and you watch Gaelic, I don't know if any of you has watched Gaelic or not, but if you see in Croke Park, and if there's a point scored or if a goal is scored, you see a big sign going up and it says, John chapter 3, verse 7. I'll maybe mention that later on. But that is true. Ye must be born again. As I give you a word of testimony tonight, I'm explaining to you how the Lord Jesus Christ led me and how He saved my precious soul. His protecting hand was upon me through many dangers, toils and snares. But there was a point in my life when the Holy Ghost so came and convicted me of my sin, brought me to the place of repentance, where I forsook all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. My whole desire was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In my early days, I used to go to a wee meeting on how God really blessed. And how Noel Torkington and Leonard Urd preached the Lord Jesus Christ in His simplicity. And I was a tour away, and I'm sure it was very hard to manage. And when I was about 7 or 8 years of age, see, our house was built in the river. I lived actually in the river. When a big flood would be coming up, I could nearly put my hand down and touch the water. So I loved fishing. Is there any boys and girls here like fishing? No? No fishermen or women? Ah, there's one there. No, women can fish well too, you know. I don't forget about the girls. And I remember one of our rules in our house was to remember the Lord's Day and to keep it holy. There was a man who had come up from Belfast, Harry he called him. He had a motorbike and sidecar. And he was fishing this day, this Sunday. And I was allowed to watch him from a distance, but I was not allowed to fish. But I went down to Harry this day to say, Harry, come on, let me have a few casts. Let me just have a go here. And he says, no, John, your mama and daddy doesn't allow you. But I looked into his eyes, and you know the way you do, boys and girls, you just go on and on and on until they give in. So Harry actually gave in. And I was fishing away, and all of a sudden I got this big fish, and it must have been that size. Well, I suppose it was about that size. You know what fishermen are like. And I got it, and it was coming into the edge. I got the net, Harry got the net, and he tried to get it in net. And he missed it. And then all of a sudden, guess what happened? The cast broke, and the fish got away. I was so disappointed, because I never got much use of a good rod. And I never caught a fish as big as that before. And I was so disappointed. I sat in the riverbank and I cried. And you know what reminds me in the Bible? There is another person who was so disappointed. Remember Eve, when she ate the forbidden fruit and give it to Adam. And how he did eat of it. Because of their disobedience. Just like my disobedience. Everyone has become a sinner. Every boy and girl were born with a black heart. That black heart needs to be changed to white. And as time grew on, when I was about 11 years of age, money wasn't plentiful then, and I had to work after school. And I started into a draper shop. But then, my brother, I remember he was working in this other grocery shop. So he was telling me about this great race called the Grand National. So I had a bet on the Grand National. And for 2 years running, I won. And whenever I left the draper shop and I took my brother's job in the grocery shop, I realized then what my brother went through. Because this was a shop where people that worked in it loved gambling. And they would drink and do other things and smoke. And I wasn't long in that business until I was doing exactly the same. And I started to get a love for gambling, especially for horse racing. It was my desire of my heart, really wanted to know everything about horse racing that I could learn. And I was just, when I went to school, I passed the exam to go to school and opportunity to learn things. But I didn't take that opportunity. You young person tonight, learn when you can. It might be hard, it might be difficult. But stick in the books and learn. Because you do not know what lies ahead. The Lord could have a work for you in the future. Maybe in a mission field. Maybe in the ministry. And all those exams would be a great help to you. I didn't learn. And whenever come to 15 years of age, started to work. And I started to play rugby for Bonbridge Town when I was 16 years of age. And when come near 18, I remember one night in training, one of the players said to me, John, what about coming to England and getting work? Living there. Well, I was always one for adventures. I thought this would be great. So I packed my bags and left home just like the prodigal son. He had everything. But he left home. He thought faraway fields look green. I thought faraway fields look green. People told me, John, you shouldn't do it. But I had my mind made up. I wanted adventure. And through my life, there I adventure I got. And we arrived in Manchester, and whenever the time in England, I was in different towns, and I ended up in London. I know what it's like when I lived in Liverpool. I know what it's like to be with the down and outs for a week, with their wine, no food, you're struggling, you were cold, you were friendless. It's terrible. Sometimes people look down on the down and outs. I do not, because I was one myself for a week and I know exactly what it is like. My heart goes out for them. And then we went to London and I started mostly in the pub business and the discotheque. At the very beginning of the discotheques in North London, I started to work in one of the toughest and roughest places there was. I got my training there. And then another landlord came and asked me would I go to work for him. He played football for West Ham United. So I thought this was exciting. So I moved to the other side of the town, to the West End. And there was film stars, pop stars, and all different people you were meeting there. But let me tell you something. The sin in the angel was just the same as the sin in the West End of London. Oh, it might have been dickied up. It might have a few bright lights around it and look different. But let me tell you, at the heart of it all, sin's the same matter where you go. Total depravity is the same matter where you go. People might be smiling, they might think they're happy, but sin's just exactly as ugly and as wicked, and it leads souls to a lost eternity. It's just the same. And I remember that whenever the gambling, I got to know a lot of gamblers, professional gamblers and different. We used to go up into the Midlands and bring our greyhounds and race them. Used to go and trail them on a Sunday morning. And it's all a wicked business. Let me tell you, and anybody tells you that all these racings is up to scratch, let me tell you there's more crookedness. I have done it myself, and I know exactly what it is like. So much crookedness in it. We used to change our dog's name. I'm sure our dog didn't know what you called it half time. We changed his name that often. It was so much all my love for gambling. You all the jockeys and the horses, I could have told you anything about horse racing that you could mention. And I met some people who were in the business. And that was just my life. But in the meantime, when I was in London, you know, the Lord didn't forget about me. The Lord knew that He had a work for me to do somewhere in the future. And He had His eyes upon me. And He brought me to places where I could hear the gospel. I remember standing and listening in open-air meetings, preaching the gospel. I remember going to Walthamstow Greyhound Racing, and there was an elderly man, and he was standing on a wee island, and he was giving gospel tracts. And what I could really remember about him, couldn't tell you the verse of scripture, but he had a scripture coat upon him. And I remember him. And I remember another time we went to a club in the West End, and there was all these high-class people in it. And you had to have even a password to get in. And you had to be a dancer on the fiddler on the roof. I'm glad nobody asked me to dance, for they would have seen the three me out. But I remember that night going in, and I was so looking forward to it. And they had these like big hot dog things. And remember, I got one of those. And I was all set for a great night. But then the Lord spoke to me in that place. And what did He do? This is encouragement for the Sunday school teacher and for the children's worker. He brought me back to the time whenever I heard the gospel as a wee child of 8, 9, and 10 years of age. He brought me back to Leonard Erg, where I heard Noel preaching the gospel. I never listened to it then, but it was in my memory bank, and the Lord produced it. And I could not stay in that place. The power of the Holy Ghost up was speaking to me in conviction of sin. And I left that big thing that I was eating. I just left where half it was. and I got a taxi home. The Lord didn't save me then, but that was a very important time in my life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you've been brought under conviction even this past week. You're the Lord. This is where the Lord it works. And it came and the trouble started here in the early 70s. I decided to come home. So I just packed my bags and came home. And it was a time during the Vanguard meetings, and I thought I would go to the Vanguard meeting. And my brother, he was the secretary of it, and he gave me a job of bringing these leaflets. We had leaflets to be given out, and my job was to bring a lady and two young girls to give them out. It's girls my same age. They say, "Oh, this is great. I'll certainly do it." And of course, I brought in the wee minivan then. And I brought this lady and the two girls out. And I became very friendly with the two girls. I used to go to their house all for months. And they belonged to the Quakers. And I remember going to one Quaker meeting. Mrs. John Henry Stinton was taking a meeting. And there were the old time preachers. And she was talking about the race. And I always loved athletics, and I would have run when I was in England. I've run in big, running different meetings and different things, and I just loved it because I smoked when I was young. I just wasn't as good as I ought to have been. I should have been better, but I smoked, and I was smoking even at that time 60 cigarettes a day. And even my rugby went. I played for Hayes Town in England. And I just couldn't put everything because it spoke and ruined my life. I loved running, but it really did. Young person, anybody offers you cigarettes, say no. Say no. But I remember it was on the 19th of July, 1973. And I was in this house, and it was a real old house with a tin roof. And it was a Saturday, and I had my gamble that day. And of course, I won on it. And I was smoking there, as I told you, 60 cigarettes a day. But the Holy Ghost came upon me in that evening, that Saturday night. And I came and I realized that I was a lost sinner. I realized I was going to hell, a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I could see hell itself. The Lord spoke to me. And then on the other hand, I could see the Lord Jesus Christ with that outstretched hand. "Come on to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That night I forgot about my gambling. I forgot about my friends. I forgot about the cigarettes. All I wanted to do was to get right with Christ. I never thought if I got right with Christ and be saved, how was I going to keep it? That was out of my mind. All I wanted to do was to get down and repent of my sin. And that's what I did do. And you know, the sin was on my shoulder, rolled away. The Lord saved me. He just came by faith, simple faith. Lord, save me. And He saved me. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. I never thought how I was going to stop. When I got the cigarettes and I went into the fire, I never gambled something that I loved with all my heart. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Something that was special to me was gambling. But now I had the Savior. I didn't want to gamble. That ceased. The drink ceased. And then I had a few friends. This was going to be a problem. And I wasn't long saved until the first problem arrived. And that was whenever I was arrested and brought into Castlereagh for 3 days. And I remember looking at that plaque there, Reverend John Wiley. I remember him coming down. I was clear and plain down the seam. I was only saved a couple of months. And that was special when the Lord drew near to me. And whenever I saved, I wanted to do something for the Lord. I wanted to do something special. And I just had started a business, and I was doing my orders, and I was up past Morangy Tract football ground. And I saw the opportunity, so I got a few tracts, and I gave them, this is 30 years ago, and I gave them out, I put them in the cars. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, look, there's a people here, and they're not saved. What about the gospel tracts? So I started to give gospel tracts out at the football 30 years ago. And whenever I got a scripture coat and put it on me, I could think of that man standing in Walthamstow on that wee island. And that man has been a great help to me. I thank and praise God for him. He was an encouragement. He might have been 85 years of age then, but he was a real encouragement to my heart. And when I put my scripture coat on this last 30 years, I think about that man. You know, you could be doing a work for the Lord that you don't even know anybody's maybe even watching you. That man never spoke to me in his life. But yet, he's been a real blessing to me. If we walk a life, if every Christian walks a life, when others are looking on, you don't know what way the Lord can use you. You might be silent and even not say a word. People don't read the Bible. Many people don't read the scriptures, but they read the Christian. You know how wonderful that man has been to my life. And we guys still give the gospel tracks out. Even though we went down from the Premier Division to the First Division. But we'll be playing Coleraine next year anyhow. We're up again. And we stuck at it, and we'll be getting a bigger congregation next year. And we give them out. My old tractor distributing society called Morangy Tractor Distributors. And we send gospel tracts all over the world. And you know how great it is to get a conversation, especially Roman Catholics. I love to see Roman Catholics been saved. I have a burden in my heart to see them born again of the Spirit of God. I have my heart to see Ireland united in Christ, born again. And you know how wonderful opportunity when you're speaking to a Roman Catholic is. Most of them like Gaelic. And that wee plaque that goes in, you say to them, oh, do you ever watch Gaelic? Oh, yes, we watch it. Do you ever see the wee sign goes up and a pint is scored? Yes. And what great conversation. I've used that many times. And it's been real a blessing. I see my times go, and I could stand here and tell you wonderful things that the Lord has blessed. Now he's given me an interest in the mission work. I had a shop for 30 years. I've just left it. And I wondered what I was going to do. I was going to go nearly part-time and get a wee job and go part-time with the tracks. But the Lord had different ideas, and he's given me the opportunity to go around helping to work in the Isle of Man. I've been over there. And I go round all our churches. I'll be coming here in August, and go round all our churches, showing a film about the work in the Isle of Man. And I have a family of three. One of them is saved, but I have two boys, and they're not saved. And maybe there's someone in here tonight, and you have a family not saved. Let me tell you, be like Hannah, bring it to the Lord. Don't bring it home again with you, but leave it there. Leave it to the Lord. Keep on praying. They mightn't save them until you're gone. But come and pray in faith and believe that the Lord will work in your heart. Never give in. Never give up. Pray for that lost soul. My mother and father prayed for me. And I'm sure there's many praying mommies and daddies here tonight for their family. And maybe the tears, and I know what it's like when the old devil confronts you in many ways. And the tears are coming down your cheek praying for your loss. Never give in. Let me give you a word of encouragement. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. The Lord will answer prayer. And just before I go, let me say for someone tonight, our brother who I've known now for a long while. I know you have been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And as you're sitting in that seat, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost so comes. You're not here by chance tonight. The Holy Spirit comes and speaks to you. I remember I wasn't long saved, and I had a desire to see my best friend saved. And I brought him to a gospel mission in Portadown where our moderator was preaching. And this man was one of the toughest men I have known, many, many, many tough men, boxers, wrestlers, all sorts in my life. But this was one of the toughest men I ever knew. And he was sitting listening to the gospel and in the invitation, and the tears was coming down his face. And I said, I'm like, Billy, come and get saved tonight. He says, I cannot. Man, I got married. Yes, I got married to one of those Quaker girls. And we're away on our honeymoon in Port Stewart. You went to a caravan in Port Stewart those days. You wouldn't go to Bahamas and everywhere like that then. You went to a caravan, Port Rush it was. And I remember as I was coming home, and I had a real burning. He was the last person to see me go. He was so close to me. And I remember as I was down on my knees before I went to bed, and I was praying the Lord would save him. I don't know what happened in that previous week, but as he was going home, there's two men came round the corner and shot him dead. Shot him dead. Let me tell you, sinner friend, tonight, God speaking to you, don't wait another moment. Don't even wait to the end of the meeting. Ask the Lord to save you. He saved me. My friends who I knew all them years ago, all my life, they were to see me now. They couldn't believe it. Because, do you know why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. God bless you all.